Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
You know, people are trying to silence Michael Savage. That's me. I need your help. It's a big battle, a legal battle. The opposition has unlimited funds. I don't. Will you please go to michaelsavage.com, contribute $5, $10, $1,000, $10,000. You'll notice that you can contribute to the Legal Defense Fund under a new address. The mail goes to the Michael Savage, that's if a check, a money order, cash, Michael Savage Legal Fund, 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco 94111. Thank you for helping protect freedom of speech. Michael Savage Legal Fund, 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco 94111. And God bless you for helping protect freedom of speech. Now, I came in today from the Chinese restaurant, grease all over the local paper, and I'm very unhappy that I asked if I could borrow the paper, the Chronicle, from the Chinese restaurant full of grease. She said, no, it belongs. They don't let you have anything for, like, a napkin you have to. She said, no, it belongs to my husband. So I had to put 50 cents in the machine because there were so many stories here that typified the mental disorder of liberalism. I just couldn't leave the paper. I had to bring it in. Here's one. Here's the headline. Not that the shooter was a Bosnian Muslim refugee and what it says about America's immigration policies, what it may say about Muslims, what it may say about the lax security we have in this country, the heroism of the policeman who stood him down with a gun, risking his own life. None of that was covered. Instead, the headline in the local stupid newspaper, Maltese Falcon Flies the Coop, Restaurant Owners Stew Over New Rules, Naps Good for Ticker, House's Attack on War Policy, First Step in Pelosi's Bid to Alter Administration's Stance in Iraq. Oh, you'd think she was Joan of Arc. You'd think she was as pure as the driven snow, but she needs a 757, a military jet, to fight the military. That's not in the article. Now, then you turn to Nation and the World, in the most mentally ill city on Earth. And here's an article. Los Alamos scientist criticizes federal approach to arsenal. So here is a weapons designer at the Los Alamos National Laboratory, Joseph Martz. He's one of our men, a brilliant man who designs nuclear weapons. He's one of the country's top nuclear weapons designers. And he gives a press conference on his own against policy, saying that it's time for the United States to ultimately eliminate the nuclear arsenal. This is an age of terror when Iran is trying to get the bomb. This putz, this idiot savant at the Los Alamos laboratory, wants us to dismantle our nuclear weapons. You have to ask yourself, should the guy's security clearance be pulled? Because I don't know whose side he's working for. So Joseph Martz was not allowed to give this speech. And he gives his own speech, and he says, we don't need nuclear weapons. Time to disable all of them. And he's inside our nuclear establishment. And he says, you understand what I'm offering here. I'm offering through our technological achievements the security we need to enter into a real discussion of nuclear disarmament. And he says that the United States nuclear arsenal should be maintained for some years, but we should move now to get rid of all of them. No more warheads. I guess only Iran needs them. North Korea needs them. Syria needs them. Saudi Arabia needs them, but we don't need them. The enemy within. Los Alamos scientists urges radical shift. In J. Edgar Hoover's day, he'd be rubber hosed in the back room by tonight. They'd be rubber hosing him. A light would be swinging. Think Dragnet. Think Broderick Crawford and Highway Patrol. This brilliant scientist would be crapping in a diaper somewhere in a police cell, in a federal detention cell. They'd be swinging a light over his head and hitting him with a rubber truncheon to find out exactly who he works for. But I'm sure that in this country, he'll be on Larry King tomorrow. Garlic breath himself for having a... So I couldn't help bringing that story. The topper, though, is coming. Hey, there's more yet. This was like a quadruple that I spent 50 cents on this rag. Anniversary of same-sex weddings. This is on the Bay Area in California. It's still covered with Chinese restaurant grease, and it shows the smiling Gavin Newsom, who I affectionately named Any Twosome Newsom several years back. Mayor Gavin Twosome Newsom gets a warm reception on the third anniversary of his move to allow same-sex couples to marry. So the whole city hates him. So what does he do? He goes back to the people who put him in power, the same group, and he's honored by the people who want to mock marriage and destroy the institution of marriage. Next to it is yet another article. Medical pot cuts pain study finds. First rigorous research looked at HIV patients. Well, hello, heroin cuts pain too. Did you know that heroin cuts pain? Methadone cuts pain? A lot of things cut pain. So, duh. Doctors at SF General reported Monday that HIV-infected patients suffering from a painful nerve condition in their hands or feet obtained substantial relief by smoking small amounts of marijuana. They can get the same relief by using heroin. So what, should we legalize heroin now? What's the point of the study? What is the point of the study? They don't have to smoke the marijuana. They can take Marinol. They get the same relief. This is rubbish. It's more politically correct science, so-called, if you want to call it science. Wave of shootings rocks Western Addition residents. We have a homicide epidemic in the minority community here of San Francisco. Out of control. But the mayor officiates at Any Twosome. That's what he's concerned about, is Any Twosome. Instead of any six shooter, he's concerned with Any Twosome. Europe's Muslim... Here's the story that I couldn't believe out of the Washington Times up on the Savage... This story was a killer. I have told you in one of my books that there's an enemy within. I didn't have their names, but as the years emerge, their names are starting to emerge as time goes on. The enemy within could be Sandy Berger, for example. We don't know what he robbed in his underwear. God only knows what you'd have to wear, what kind of biohazard suit you'd have to go to sort through the documents that he put in his underwear. But here's an article today came out, says Europe's Muslims find ally in U.S. Daniel Fried, Assistant Secretary of State for European and Eurasian Affairs, said that there's a nativist surge in Western Europe that is offensive to Muslims. I said, am I reading this incorrectly? He said the growing Muslim presence in Europe is a, quote, fascinating issue and one that the American government is now just trying to get its mind around. And he said it's a huge problem and we've tried to do some intellectual framing up. This is a Secretary of State, Daniel Fried, this moron, this academic putz, has this to say. He says, there's a weird, and I'm quoting him now, quote, Europe has to learn, he says, you have a weird nativist surge in Western Europe and a kind of odd panic. Aliens are here. They don't accept our values. They are a threat to our way of life and turn to radicalism. So his solution is to go to Europe and to try to do an outreach to the Muslims in Europe. That's his idea here, Daniel Fried. This is the same Daniel Fried inside the State Department who just celebrated the stealing of Kosovo from the Serbian people, which, by the way, set off Putin the other day. You know, I studied that story. It came and went very fast on Sunday. And this is for the aficionados only. Most of you won't understand what I'm talking about, so forgive me for 30 seconds. I'm going to speak in English for 30 seconds. I'm going to speak in English at a higher speed and in a higher IQ level for about a minute. Bill Clinton destroyed Serbia to permit the province of Kosovo, which had been a part of Serbia since the 1300s, to be stolen from them. This was a Muslim invasion of Serbia that the Serbs were fighting against. It was completely perverted by the U.S. media. Bill Clinton created an illegal war by going to war against the Serbs. He took United States Air Force planes. It was so illegal that he painted over the American insignias on our planes and painted NATO markings on it. It was done at the behest of the socialists of Europe, notably Javier Solana, the same villain who has come up over and over again against America's interests and in the interests of the New World Order. Bill Clinton decimated the Serbian people. He broke Kosovo off. Since the UN has been so-called protecting Kosovo from Muslim attacks, over 200 Orthodox Christian churches have been burned to the ground. You've seen not one picture of any of them. Inside the State Department, there is the same Daniel Fried who just yesterday celebrated the detachment of Kosovo from Serbia. So if you don't think that there's a government within a government and yet a government within that government, then you don't understand how government works.
Yeah. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. Listener, to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Oh, so I'm going back to my local newspaper. So here's the headline. Big block capital. Immigration raids raise fear. Canal District says community upset after second roundup. First of all, that community speaks Spanish. They don't speak much English and they don't buy the newspaper. So now you understand why these liberal newspapers are failing. They write the newspaper for the people who don't read the newspaper. And the people who could read the newspaper don't buy it because it insults their intelligence. Thank God the federal immigration officers are on the roundup all over the country. They're rousting illegals from their homes at 5 in the morning and putting them in black vans and taking them away. And the brazen Hispanic illegal agitators don't know what to do. They're used to pushing liberals around like the patsies that they are. And they don't understand, like, how could this be happening in my country? Because it isn't their country. It's our country. Now, what's going on here, I don't really know, because the reason I say I don't know is because Bush leaves the border with Mexico open, and yet we see federal immigration officers rounding up illegal aliens in many parts of the country. So who's doing what is hard to say here. Third article in the local liberal rag. This is a beauty. This is another headline. School drama programs thriving in Marin. Now, 2 years ago, I tried to tell you that we raised the stupidest children in America in Marin County. They were building here at the Redwood High School for millions of dollars a theater several years ago. And I remember mentioning to you on the show, in the year 2001, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, we need another theater? We need more thespians in the country? We have kids from China who can read, write, do math. They can do computers like whiz kids. And our children can act. You hear this? That's terrific. We're training children to act. That's all we need. Act and use marijuana. Their children are being trained in science, in mathematics, in computer sciences. And these morons, these potheads here in Marin, vote millions of dollars to build a theater so their stupid children can feel that their self-esteem went up because they did a theater piece. Kiss Me, Kate. I'm not making this up. Rehearsal. Songs from Kiss Me, Kate are played during rehearsals for the musical in the Year Old Theater at Terra Linda High School Drama. And it says, Marin's drama programs are booming thanks to creative funding and community support. Just what the doctor ordered. Just what the doctor ordered in this century is more children who can be ham actors. That's going to really get them through life. Now, what this is all about, the liberals who like to molest boys and girls talk to the liberals in the funding department who like to molest boys and girls, and they said to him the best way to molest boys and girls is to get them into the theater arts and get them doped up and give them a good grab behind the curtain there and then take them home to your house for a little entertainment. You can't do it to a kid in a science class. After all, they're wearing aprons and goggles. You can't molest a kid as well if he's wearing a rubber apron and a goggle, can you? No, so you put him in a theater because a costume's easy to roust someone through. See, I try to make my point in a graphic way, which offends you liberals, but you know what? You deserve every ounce of this ridicule that I foist upon you because you people are not only destroying America, you're destroying your children. Your children, you're telling me, are going to be better children because they did a few amateur theater plays in high school? Instead of knuckling down and learning chemistry? Instead of knuckling down and learning computer science? Instead of knuckling down and learning trigonometry, you're teaching them to do Kiss Me, Kate? This is what Marin County is. And the children, by and large, come out as flops. Most of them live at home until the parents either drop dead on their own and they get the house, or they push the parents down a flight of stairs and they say they fell and call 911. Marin, no one buys this rag. School drama programs thriving in Marin. Hark! Hark! I see a thespian next to the lesbian! Then they get out of high school and they think that they're ready to go to L.A. and get a job. They wind up in porno. Then they wind up in rehab 2 years later, and they call the parents, and they wind up moving home. That's it. That's because they studied to be a thespian instead of learning to be a chemist in high school. What are they running? Kiss Me, Kate, in high school? Are you kidding me? Not only is the theater bad, but look at the piece they're picking. They show two other lame-brained children who can't do anything else on the front page, getting ready to rehearse for Pride and Prejudice at another high school on Monday night. And that's their big thing. All the schools are staged. Sure, it's easier for the old pervs to molest boys and girls if they're thespians rather than chemists. You can't molest a kid as easily if he's wearing a rubber apron and a pair of goggles. But you get him into a costume from the Renaissance period. Oh, boy, yeah. You got a pair of tight velour on the kid. Anything could happen. Yeah, right. It's really all about the child and expressing themselves. Just what we need in 2007 is more thespians. Now, we don't need more thespians in Marin County. We need more children to know how to add. More children know how to do mathematics so they can be competitive in the next century. I mean, in this century. I don't think they're going to live to the next century.
Savage.
Abortion is fueling the cancer epidemic. Having an abortion raises a woman's risk of breast cancer by at least 30%, according to a major new study by British researchers. And it's published in a major journal. And an abortion in a young woman who has never had a child has a carcinogenic effect. You don't want to hear this, many of you leftists, but it's a reality. The people who are fighting it are those in the American Cancer Society and those in the abortion rackets. For years, medical professionals have seen a linkage between abortions and cancer in women. And it's been rejected by, of course, the special interests, mainly the national organizations that make a lot of money on abortions. But women, pay attention to what I've just said to you. Oh, an abortion in a young woman who has never had a child has a carcinogenic effect. And it's explained why in the article, and I'm not going to read it out. Ireland has the lowest breast cancer rates in the British Islands. It also has the lowest abortion rates. Ireland, which has the lowest breast cancer rates in the British Isles, also has the lowest abortion rates. And they say one puzzling fact is that women from upper social classes had more breast cancer.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
You know, I realized the old York Times, I couldn't sleep last night. I went to sleep 8:30 at night, got up 2 in the morning. And laid in bed until about 3 when I heard the newspaper thwop on the driveway. And I said, my God, what a high carbon thing this is, newspaper delivery. This is really high carbon. That paper comes to me. Think about it. There's some poor immigrant gets up probably at midnight, picks up this stack of dead trees and printer's ink, drives around spewing carbon from his old, you know, leftover, you know, like a Toyota, whatever. Poor guy, poor woman. And drives around with this heavy piece of newspaper, throws it on my driveway. I said, what would Pinchy Sulzberger do if someone pointed out that just delivering newspapers is a high-carbon experience? In fact, most of the stories about the myth of global warming are put out by these newspapers, these comic books for stupid adults. And they're delivered in the most high-carbon fashion imaginable. See, most of the people who read the internet have read competing theories on what's causing this slight uptick in global temperature. And I say slight uptick, like maybe a half a degree a century. I'm a boater, for God's sakes. The tide charts were written a long time ago. They're accurate, down to the inch. There's been no rise in sea level anywhere. I keep calendars year after year. It's about the same temperature year after year, the same thing, over and over again. But if you look at the data, there's been like a half a degree in 100 years. Whether man is doing it, whether it's anthropogenic, is the argument. But those who are disseminating the idea that the world is about to come to an end because of global warming are mainly those who write for newspapers. And those who read it are generally people with lower intelligences who simply read newspapers. But what they don't realize is that the vehicle that is delivering the news to them about so-called global warming is really a very high carbon delivery system. I thought about that 3 a.m. I had to entertain myself somehow to keep from climbing the walls altogether. Now, maybe that's the sign of intelligence. Do you know that I dream in not only 3D but Technicolor? If I could tell you the number of dreams I have every night, and I remember all of them in detail, I actually painted paintings last night. In my sleep, I painted masterpieces where I saw the brush, I saw the paint, I saw the bubbles of the paint. I couldn't believe this. I actually look forward to going to sleep every night because my dreams are far more interesting than my life. I have the most phenomenally interesting dreams, more interesting than any movies I've ever seen. And the older I get, the more interesting my dreams become. I'm starting to wonder if, you know, that's not the other world. The next world is over there. Wow. Interesting world. So anyway, to make a long story short, the high carbon newspaper comes on the driveway. And I got it this morning and I put two yellow tags on the old York Times. One is Turk lawmakers. They're so PC, the Times. Not Turkey, not Turkish, but Turk lawmakers. They always look up the right way to say things to not be offensive. That they're experts on. Their IQ is very high on non-offense. Turk lawmakers grant authority for raids in Iraq. Why Turk? Well, because some of the lawmakers may not be Turkish. They could be Kurdish. You see? See how smart they are, the boys from NYU? You see how smart, how they use their intelligence? But they don't tell you it was Nancy Pelosi who forced the Turkish parliament, or shall I say the Turk parliament, both old and young Turks, to vote to invade northern Iraq to confront Kurdish rebels. It was Nancy Pelosi and her Democrats who actually provoked this. That they don't tell you. Next article that I noted was, this is a shocker. A shocker. U.S. concerned as Iraq awards power deals to Iran and China. I almost fell over when I read this. Those backstabbing SOBs in Iraq, they're the most miserable people on earth are the Iraqis. They are the most backstabbing group of SOBs on the entire planet. These rats, we've spent, what, trillions of dollars liberating them from Saddam, and now when they have a little oil flowing and they have money, they're going to award the construction of power plants to Iran and China? Those backstabbing vermin. I wouldn't let them do it. But why should we permit them to do it? What, are you kidding me? What kind of government do we have? They take our money to liberate those ingrates in filthy nightshirts who continue to kill each other's women and children outside mosques, and then to add insult to injury, when they're about to build power plants, they award it to Iran and China, the construction contracts. This never would have happened in World War II. After Germany was devastated and during Reconstruction, I doubt very much that contracts would have been awarded to anyone other than General Electric, General Motors, etc. Since our nation had been depleted in fighting World War II, you would figure that perhaps we want to refill the coffers in some manner. But this, again, is an example of the lack of leadership in the administration. I have to tell you that. Who else do you blame for this? How could you blame anyone but George Bush for this? How could you blame anybody but Bush for this? U.S. concerned as Iraq awards power deals to Iran and China. How could they do this? How could you permit Iranians to come and build power plants in Iraq? How could you do this unless you're an absolute idiot and totally out of control? So then that's at 3 a.m. You see what bothers me? No wonder I sleep so much. You wake up to this kind of news, it's no wonder that I dream in Technicolor. Putin attacks U.S. foreign policy, announces new nuclear weapon. This is getting ugly. This is getting ugly. He says that they're building a new nuclear submarine, Russia. You hear this? And he said we have grandiose plans and they are absolutely realistic. And he said we are going to develop a new generation nuclear weapon that will stun the world. We haven't heard anything from the Federation of Concerned Atomic Scientists. They're suddenly silent when their good friend in Russia is talking about building a new generation of nuclear weapons. They only have big yaps on them when it comes to the American military having a nuclear weapon. But if Russia, oh, they're entitled to it. Federation of Concerned Scientists, all fellow traveler communist wobblies, all of them, all raised in Brooklyn, Bronx, Manhattan, over oilcloth by ILGWU parents who taught them to hate the country and to spit on the ground every time they left the apartment, in my opinion. How come they have nothing to say about Putin saying he's going to develop a new generation of nuclear weapon? How can he say, when he said that Russia will build another nuclear submarine, we didn't hear any of these anti-nuke lefties go crazy in America. He says that they're also planning a completely new atomic weapon. How come they didn't get excited over that and say that it's 1 minute to midnight? Those morons. Commies, that's what they are, 100%. Do we need a nationalistic government? Wow, I don't see how we're going to survive. Anyways, I made one new point that you never heard before. Newspapers are high-carbon deliveries, which is very funny, actually, when you think about it. You could now throw this in the face of your newspaper-reading friends. That Savage said that the paper you're reading is a high-carbon vehicle. Tell that to Phil Bronstein. All of these guys who are in the newspaper business, when you think about it, they're all, oh, they're so liberal. They're all, oh, yeah, global warming. They walk around like high priests of global warming with a sanctimoniousness that you need a clothespin on your nose to prevent the stench from entering your being. Oh, yeah, they're the high priests of global warming and everything else politically correct. And how do they deliver these ideas? Through the most high-carbon form of communication that there is. Newspapers in a driveway or at a newsstand delivered by a gas-stenching, a fume-stenching truck. See, it takes Savage to figure these things out. Someone once said this to me, a professor back in 1970. He said, you know, you're the only person I've ever met. He said, it's astonishing that you can function. He says, you have no barrier between your conscious and your subconscious. You actually function with both at once. So I said, and? So? What's wrong with that? In other words, I've plumbed my depth sufficiently through self-analysis to know who I am, and I'm not ashamed of it. What do I got to hide? I'm not like most people. I mean, well, what's there to hide? When everything I see isn't so pretty. But that's life, you know. Out of the muck, a lotus will grow. We all come from the muck, and we all go back to the muck. We come from the muck. We go back to the muck. What more do you need to know? None of us are demigods. None of us are God. Once you understand that we arise from a smelly ether called the swamp of life, and that is what we go back to, the rest is very easy. Then you stop worrying about if you have an extra little flab on your stomach and a gray hair and a mole on your face. And you suddenly accept yourself for what you are. Then you can wear an undershirt and look at yourself in the mirror and say, that's it, thank God I'm alive. And I got two legs and two arms and two lungs and a beating heart. What more do I need? I'm going to look like a bicycle rider who takes cocaine? Oh, God, what am I talking about? Why are you listening to me? I'm going up and down the scale here. I'm playing the scales for you on the Savage Nation. No, I'm a little upset because I opened a letter just now, a personal letter. I shouldn't have done it during the show. I got all my mail and I opened one from a relative. It's a shocker. It's a picture of my late father from a year before he died. Photo of daddy enclosed. Your mother kept it in her bag till she did. No, I never saw this picture. He looked healthy. He shouldn't have died this young. I'm older than he was, and he died. It's eerie. Yeah, I thank God Oscar the cat is in here. He's liable to curl up next to me, and it will be all be all over. He's in better shape than I am. Are you kidding me? And he died anyway? Not a gray hair on his head. And thin? I put on weight. I got gray hair, and I'm still kicking. Go figure it out. You know how many guys died in their 30s that I knew who were runners? Huffing and puffing with watches, and they divide them, and every minute they looked at their watch. They wouldn't touch this, and they ate perfect. They dropped dead like flies. I don't say don't exercise, but no man is made to run like an Ethiopian bee picker day and night. You're not living in Ethiopia at 12,000 feet. That's why they win these races everywhere. That's they run at high altitudes. You don't. Every year there's a few blowouts here with the San Francisco, what do they call it? Marathon, the marathon. Every year they got someone dropping dead before the finish line. If you want to run, go run. Enjoy yourself. This too shall pass. I have a whole different theory of exercise at a certain point in your life. Now, remember, I wrote the book on nutrition, and I also exercise moderately, but the key word is moderately. This excessive, like you're on a treadmill, heart attackville. It's worse than sitting in front of a television and eating Doritos. And I'm telling you, no human being has made the... You ever see old men running like that? It's insanity, total insanity. Show me in nature where a man runs like that after the age of 40, unless he's being chased by a predator who wants to burn his house down. Nobody runs like that if they don't have to. What did the great American writer say? Mark Twain. He said, I get all my exercise going to the funerals of my more athletic friends. It was funny. It worked for him. The guy was, for him, it worked. I'm sure if he ran, he would have been dead at 30. I'll never forget when I stopped running the day. Are you interested in any of this? Or do you want to talk about home invasion? I'm in a sweat from the whole story already. I ate nuts during the break. I got this picture. Now I'm having palpitations. I think I'll have a pizza for dinner tonight and beer. Nah, I think tonight I'm going to drive into the city. I'm not in the city. I'm not in San Francisco now. I'm out in the suburban location, one of my Arafatian houses. I have many locations. I don't know where I'm going to be the next night. That way, if anyone, they don't know where I'm going to, because I don't know where I'm going to broadcast from or where I'm going to sleep. I have several locations. I have to. That's what the liberals are today. I have to watch out for them because they're all psychopaths. Every last one of them belongs in a mental hospital. Or in a straitjacket. That's all. Look how they treat. Forget it. I don't want to go into bashing liberals. It's been done too often. And I did it better than anybody else. Oh, let's move on. Sunni Shiites, not interested. I don't ever want to know the difference between a Sunni and a Shiite. I'm not interested. I don't care about them. They're obsessed with themselves. And the media, who never told you once what Judaism was or what Christianity was, except once a year around Christmas, now they're an expert. Every day they give you an expert story on Islam. The same liberals. Isn't it interesting how they love Islam? They can't get enough of it. They're experts in the Sunni sect, the Shia sect. Now, you see, what do you call it when you talk and talk? And he looked good. Look at this. I can't get it out of my head. I shouldn't have looked at these pictures. He was, God bless him. A lot of good it did him, the wife. Black hair, thin, kept in shape, and dead. And what about Winston Churchill? He sat in the bathtub drinking brandy and smoking cigars. It hurt him? Could you picture him running around, let's say, England during World War II, saying, I got to do a stress break now? Our president, all our NBA-like leaders, they all run, they're in perfect shape, and they can't think. He sat with a brandy and a cigar in a bathtub. He was able to lead Britain through the darkest days of World War II. How is that? How is that possible? You know, maybe that would be a theory for George Bush to straighten the country out. Stop with the sobriety, have a drink, and sit in a bathtub with a cigar. Maybe you could save the country. You'll have some insights. Like, take the handcuffs off the men, number one, and tell the liberals to go to hell, number two. That might save America. KNEW, San Fran. What? Someone from England sent me a new one. I use San Francisco, San Francisco. San Fran. She called us something else. A friend from somewhere. A long email. San Fran. I can't remember why I bring it up.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. Savage. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Now he's a true childhood story that I may have told once in 15 years of radio. Barry Schmaltz and his crazy mother Betty Schmaltz and his father Louis Schmaltz. The names have been changed to protect the Schmaltzes. Let's see, how do I begin the story? He was about 15 years old. He was a tall kid. His bedroom. Pink carpet, two-story house, nice house. He's having a fist fight with his father in the bedroom over something his mother said. It ends with him crying and enraged because he knew he could beat the heck out of his father after a few real good punches were thrown. I don't know if you ever seen a father and son fight. It's actually heartbreaking to see. To me, it was a violation of a very deeply held taboo. Never to strike your father, no matter what. Well, I don't know, but that family was crazy from top to bottom. They went at each other with straight rights and blasted each other. And it ended with the kid holding his punches because I think he could have really knocked his father on his butt. He picked up a piggy bank that to me was like, looked like a 25-pound piggy bank that he had, a ceramic one, since I knew him for 10 years. And he was enraged and red-faced and tears running down his eyes. He looked at his father, and he smashed the piggy bank on the floor, and all the coins that he had collected since childhood was smashed. And then the father threw him out of the house, and he wound up living in my mother's in our basement for a little while. Now, I don't know this guy anymore, but let me tell you what happened that day. Here's what happened that day. His mother was a would-be, like, movie star, as many women were in the 50s. They were always trying to be like either not Marilyn Monroe, but there were some buxom movie like Jane Mansfield, more like that type. Cadillac, the platinum blonde hair, always showing off. The father was a worker, gray-faced. He'd come home gray-faced from his job. He owned a little wholesale milk business. So they were a little better off than us somehow. But she had the Cadillac, the Coupe de Ville, pink one. And a whack job, nuts, out of her mind. Why? She was always trying to lose weight. She went to some doctor in New Jersey who put her on Benzedrine or some kind of amphetamines, which gave her a madness, a Benny high. And so she comes home, crazy out of her mind, and she takes a dog chain, and she a dog chain, and beats her wrist till it bleeds just before the father comes in at dark, at dusk, ashen-faced from the day in the milk plant. And she says, "Louie, Louie, Louie, look what your rotten son did to me. Look what he did to my hands." Well, Louis, the father, naturally would be protective of his wife. He runs upstairs and screams to the kid, "Barry, what did you do to your mother?" And the kid says, "I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything." "You liar, you." And that's when they fought. And that's when it happened. That's when the piggy bank. So from the crazy mother, Betty Schmaltz, who turned Louis against Barry. Now, you say drug usage is prevalent today. Let me tell you something. There's plenty of drug usage in those glorious Eisenhower days, but it was sub rosa drug usage. Half the women were either on Miltown or on Benzedrine for diet. Miltown was as popularly prescribed then as Prozac, let's say, is today. You know, a lot of kids came home from college and used a little Miltown with rosé wine, Meduse rosé. They got a nice buzzeroo during the afternoons when the mother wasn't home. So I'm telling you, that's the Schmaltz story. It's a sad story. And the kid wound up basically a bug all his life. He was never stable. Well, I haven't seen him in many years. Right? He was a good friend of mine, but he winds up to be someone you can't count on because he could never count on somebody else.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. Savage. Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
You know, people are trying to silence Michael Savage. That's me. I need your help. It's a big battle, a legal battle. The opposition has unlimited funds. I don't. Will you please go to michaelsavage.com, contribute $5, $10, $1,000, $10,000. You'll notice that you can contribute to the Legal Defense Fund under a new address. The mail goes to the Michael Savage, that's if a check, a money order, cash, Michael Savage Legal Fund, 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco 94111. Thank you for helping protect freedom of speech. Michael Savage Legal Fund, 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco 94111. And God bless you for helping protect freedom of speech. Danny, on K Dawn in Las Vegas, go ahead, please.
Michael, I'm dying over here to hear anything you say positive. I'm a fan, but I think you're becoming a chronic pessimist.
Wait a minute. Is it illegal to be a pessimist?
We're not talking about law. We're talking about an entertainment show with information. I'm referring people to you, two that I've referred.
Oh, well, excuse me. What do you want me to do? Perform for you? Well, what do you want me to do? Get a string that you can pull from Las Vegas?
Mike, a little bit of positive. That's all.
All right, why don't you give me something positive? Go ahead, you give me something positive.
Two girls for every boy. I got a 34 wagon and we call it a Woody.
Here's some nice optimistic music for you out there to keep all your Republicans happy. Can do. Put your mind to it. Put your shoulder to the grind. Put your shoulder to the wheel. Make up your mind. You can win. You're a winner. No negative. Be positive. Think positive. Only positive music and positive news. Everything's good. Everything's coming up roses. Bush is not a liberal. Bush is a conservative. John McCain is a good conservative. Be positive. Turn it off. You know, the thing I'll do is I'll rewrite the Bible. I'll call it the Newly Revised Optimist Bible, because if you read the Bible, it's really very negative. Take Jeremiah. You know, Jeremiah, it should be illegal to read Jeremiah in America because it's so negative. It's not positive. It's not optimistic. For example, says, "For of old time I have broken the yoke and burst the bands, and you said I will not transgress. But upon every hill and under every leafy tree, you reclined playing the harlot." Now, that should not be allowed in the new Republican America. The new Republicrat America should revise the Bible, change Jeremiah, and it should say, "Upon every high hill and under every leafy tree, you did recline playing the clown." And then the next passage says, "Yet I had planted thee a noble vine, holy a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant?" No good. That gets people in Las Vegas unhappy. So we're going to revise that into a newly revised Optimist Bible. And the phrase in Jeremiah will now say, "I had planted thee a noble vine, holy a right seed. How then art thou turned into the happy clown?" See, this way everybody will be much happier. We have the can-do spirit here in America. We have to think Ronald Reagan. We have to think pioneers. We have to think cowboys and Indians. We have to think conquering Hitler. We must never allow a negative thought in our mind, because it's very, very bad for the economy. We must be positive. Arbeit macht frei. Every morning, go to work and say to yourself, "Work makes you free." That's what we need, is positive. Positive. Positive, I say. We're going to outlaw negativity in America. That's right, in the new America, negativity will be outlawed. And the Old Testament, particularly Jeremiah, will be burned because it is oh so negative. No Isaiah, no Jeremiah, no Judges, no Ecclesiastes, no Numbers, no Leviticus, no Exodus. Too negative, I say. Out with thee, out with thee. Okay, I'll be positive. People have requested that I be positive. I guess I try to be positive. I don't know how to be positive. Well, okay, let's start with this. This morning when I was making tea, I said to myself, your one mistake in 2007 was that you forgot to be thankful to God for all the gifts that you have been given. That's hard for me because I fundamentally am not that kind of guy who gets up and I say every morning, "Thank God for what I have." I should. I admit that. So I said, if you could wake up every day and say, you know what, look at what you have. See, I personally don't want anything. Let me start with me. I don't want any more success. I don't need another bestseller. I'm not boasting now. Please don't take it the wrong way. I don't want anything right now for myself. That's not what's making me unhappy. I'm not like resentful. I'm not like unhappy that I don't have this or I don't have that. I don't want anything. All I am asking, first of all, I wanted to say thank you for giving me what I give, because I told you how this happened. I don't want to go, it sounds hokey. Things had gone really, really, really wrong for me 15 years ago, no matter what I did. Everything went wrong in my life. I mean, in terms of career-wise. I was like a wildcat, or I had turned it into a family joke. I said to myself, you know what? I'm like a wildcat who keeps drilling for wells and keeps coming up with dry holes. I said, but don't accuse me of ever having stopped throwing down those, you know, drilling. I drilled 1,000 wells and they wouldn't come up because the cards were stacked against me, because I wasn't the right race. You get it? So anyway, but the long story is, I made a prayer. I said to God, please, God, I've worked so hard. I can't take it anymore. I don't even want to tell you. I was 50 years old. And I had almost tapped out. I was ready to tap out and check out. I couldn't take it anymore. Because no matter which way I turned, they said white males need not apply. I got to tell you, on the MS, that's what I'm telling you. That's the way it was. Everything was like that. So then I made the tapes and I said, God, please, just give me a living. That's all I ask you for. I don't want to win the lottery. I said, oh, please give me a living. I've tried so hard. I've done so many good things. why are you doing this to me? And then when I stopped saying, why are you doing this to me, and said, only please give me a living, radio came along. Now, here's the interesting thing. It didn't come to me like in a lottery winning. You ask anybody who knows me going back to the first radio show. I have had to crawl on broken glass. I had to walk through fire. I had to jump hurdles in order to get where I am. Everyone knows that. And in order to keep this thing alive called the Savage Nation, it's an enormous, enormous challenge to do this correctly or as best as you can every day. 3 hours a day, like clockwork, get up every day and train for it, run for it, eat for it, sleep for it, plan for it. Because if you miss that curtain call or you get into the wrong state of mind by the time that 06 hits, you're out of business, kiddo. This business is a business that you can die with one wrong sentence, as you well know, with all of the left-wing fascists out there trying to trip you up, because we no longer live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. We live in a different country today. We live in a totally different Soviet-style America. But I'm up for the task. I'll bury them before they bury me. I will put them in an orange jumpsuit before they put me in one. I will get them out of business before they get me out of business. I can guarantee you. I can guarantee you, people have left the political arena who you thought would be around forever, and I told you they wouldn't be around. People have left this campaign who I knew didn't stand a chance in you-know-where to get anywhere, and I knew they were doing it just for the publicity. They're gone. They're gone not with the wind. They're gone like dust in the wind. What I'm saying to you is there's a lot to be thankful for. But when God answers your prayers, whatever they may be, it often comes with a burden. It's not the lottery. You don't get X, you know, millions of dollars a year for nothing. You got to work it. You got to give back. So that's the whole message that I got to remember is give back. So I want to go through one more thing. I don't know where this soul searching has come from. I had reached a point in my radio career where, let's say, I was contemplating leaving radio at the end, let's say at the end of the year, when this year is over, 08. I had been seriously thinking about it for a long time now, because there's only so many years anybody wants to do anything. And I feel I've done what I wanted to do. I've written 4 books now, 4 in a row, New York Times bestsellers. That's a heck of an achievement. I got to tell you, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you try to do. You try to do even one bestseller. I did 4 in a row. That's like 4 Babe Ruth kind of things for a guy like me. So what more do I need? What more do I want, I say to myself. The family is okay. The kids are okay. They don't need me. I'm not working for anybody. Everybody's doing well enough to get through life. Whatever years I may have left, I said to myself, what do I want to do with the years that remain? So I was contemplating this for the last 9 months now. What do I really want to do? So I contemplate what people normally do when they retire. Unfortunately, I'm an inner city kid. I always have been in my heart. I don't golf. I don't play tennis. I don't knock people who do. The sports never appealed to me, that kind of thing. I found that they were too distant. They were too slow for me. I'm not saying you're slow or a retard if you play golf. I didn't say that. I understand the great skill it takes. It's just not for me. Okay, let's leave it at that. So what kind of sports do I like? What am I going to do, go boating 7 days a week? Like a yucca puck with a captain's hat? I'm going to ride around tooting my horn with a dog? What kind of life is that? I'm going to travel? I've done more traveling than any human being should ever want to do. I did it when I was young. I've been a lot of places. I've done a lot of things, but I didn't just travel for travel's sake. I travel to collect medicinal plants. The collections unto themselves are worthy of a life's work. They were put into herbaria all over the world. Unto itself, I never talk about that. Is it as good as Jonas Salk inventing the polio vaccine? No, but it's a significant little step in science that I made. What I'm saying is I could do that. I could go back to collecting plants as a hobby, but I said I don't really want to do that anymore. I did it. I don't want that isolation and loneliness on the islands anymore, sitting alone on islands with people I don't really understand and in villages every night. You ask anyone who's actually really done it, there's no romanticism involved. It's very, very difficult, and it's very soul-wrenching to sit in a strange village on a straw mat at night, night after night. It's not a lot of fun. When you're young, maybe you can imagine it's kind of a romantic thing to do, but when you are at a different point in your life, there's no romance in it. So the point I'm making, in a long story short, is that there was nothing that I really wanted to do outside of what I have been doing for these last 15 years. And that is look at the political machine as it goes by, watch America as it goes by, and try to make a difference. Now, am I imagining that I've made a difference? No, I'll tell you, we've had some real victories. For that little film critic with the insignificant show with no ratings who thinks that the conservative movement is dead, let me remind the little film critic that this show stopped the Dubai Ports deal. Does that mean the conservative movement is dead, Mr. Film Critic? This little show stopped the illegal immigration amnesty bill. We stopped it dead in its tracks. Not just this show, but this was the pounding drum of the anti-illegal immigration amnesty movement. Did you hear what I just said to you? We've had two or three really big victories on this radio show. And what I'm saying to you is there are other things we might be able to do, both negative and positive, to save this country, to put it back on its course, to pray to God that somebody comes along who is worthy of the title president. It's possible this little show could have some influence on that. You say, well, are you being a megalomaniac? What influence can you have? Nobody ever refers to you. You don't exist, Michael. Well, go on to michaelsavage.com and take a look at the 49 million people who have voted on my website. And I can guarantee you that the listeners to this show will determine the outcome of the next election. I can guarantee it. And I didn't pick anybody yet. And I don't intend to. But I can guarantee you that the listeners will pick the next president of the United States of America. And I'm not even sure that that person is yet on the ballot. I'm not sure that that person has yet come forward. It's possible there's a person who has not yet come forward who will appear and who will tell America exactly what they want to hear, because that's what the American people are screaming, clamoring, praying, and dreaming for. And the people will rally around them like metal filings around a magnet. That's what's going to happen. Maybe. And so, therefore, there are things we can do. And that's why I'm still in radio, because I feel that I can still make a difference. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is where I find myself today. Does that answer some questions? I really didn't plan on this, you know, soul-searching exposure today, but that's it.
Yeah. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. To an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
I had a rough day today. I went out on the boat this morning with the dog. It's like summer out in the Bay Area. Flat, calm, no air, nothing. A mirror. We're in one of those like zones of air where everything's unbelievable. We get a September-October weather here is the best of all. We wait for it all year. The summers here are iffy, usually windy. Which I like, but September, October is our real summer. So come on out. The weather's just fine here in the Bay Area. And so I go out on the boat with the dog, have a nice time. Just nothing, not a big exciting day, okay? I got to explain it to you. There is nothing fundamentally exciting about going out on a boat. I go slow. I go very slowly. The dog goes to sleep. Nothing happens. That's considered a great boat ride, incidentally. The best part of a boat ride is coming back, tying up perfectly at the exact spot on the dock that you left, where the staircase that you left when you left, if you could bring your 19,000-ton boat back to the dock and line it up where your exit on your boat is exactly where it was when you got on, you're doing well. I did that today. And then when you start to wash, all is good. Life is great. I'm telling you. So then I come back, and I made spaghetti for lunch before going to work to the radio studio. I didn't want to eat anything but just plain noodles. I'm into my plain noodle phase. I splatted my abdomen with scalding water. It was horrible. And I'm not saying it's a big thing like Iraq with an IED. Don't get me wrong. But it happened. I scalded my abdomen. I was wearing an undershirt after the boat. I'm making noodles. And I burnt my abdomen. And scalding water hurts. So I went in the yard and I got aloe vera. Now, and it's much better. I got to tell you something. And it brought back a thought to me. When I was a graduate student, I'll never forget this as long as I live. I knew from nothing about natural herbs or cures. And I remember in the first month, I learned from some very brilliant men about aloe vera, the cactus. And I learned that it's been used for burns since Cleopatra's time. And then I learned that experiments have shown that it has an antibacterial and an antiseptic quality. It stinks terribly, horrible.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Here in San Francisco, they banned plastic bags in supermarkets. They said it's bad for the environment because the plastic bags don't deteriorate or disintegrate. They sit in the landfill for thousands of years. They're very concerned about the environment in San Francisco, as I say. So now you have to have a paper bag when you leave a grocery store. And if you're walking out in the rain, it doesn't matter to the city of transsexuals who run the city. The paper bag, of course, disintegrates in the rain and your groceries get wet. The plastic was much better and much more convenient. But let's take it on the face of it. So plastic is not biodegradable, right? Then how come they distribute condoms in San Francisco like M&Ms? Isn't that made of a plastic? You're telling me that the condoms that are so popular with the city transsexuals don't sit in landfills for 20,000 years? You see the hypocrisy and stupidity? Or they tell us that the salmon population is dying out, that the salmon here we're supposed to worry about, that the salmon are not breeding. We don't read that the people are not breeding. Only that the salmon are not breeding. So now they're going to spend hundreds of millions of dollars. Record low number of salmon reaching Central Valley could mean severe fishing restrictions. And they try to analyze why the spawning, the number of salmon that are spawning, has decreased. Nobody will say that perhaps the toxic garbage that is dumped offshore in San Francisco is poisoning the oceans. Nobody will say that the hospital waste and the other untreated sewage that goes out into the ocean is so toxic that it's killing the fisheries off the coast of California. Oh, no. Instead, they'll tell you to cut out plastic bags in the supermarket. U.S. couples seek separate bedrooms. Ah, look at this story. A survey by the National Association of Home Builders has predicted by 2015, 60% of custom-built homes will have two master-bedroom suites. This is an amazing story. The quest for better rest is behind the trend, as experts say the lack of decent sleep can cause marital tension. The option of having separate rooms has often improved marriages, they say. And they're not calling it separate bedrooms because people are embarrassed to admit it. They call it a flex suite to avoid any embarrassment. And it says the trend is not restricted to the upper end of the market. They say that with the practical necessity, snoring, nighttime visits to the bathroom, children, shift working, couples are often deprived a good night's sleep, so they're having two separate master suites. Let me tell you a little secret about that. It's only the poor who sleep in the same bed for their whole life, generally. And not everybody, don't get me wrong. It's a mark of poverty to have to share a bed with someone your whole life. The fact of the matter is, if you study the history of this, let's start with the royalty. They never shared the same bedroom, never mind the same bed. We're not talking about in the beginning phases when they're in the 90 days of marital heat. That's an understood fact. The 90-day period is over after 90, 91 days, according to every study that's ever been done. 90 days of insanity, by 91 days already, it's over. It goes on to a certain extent, but after 90 days, you have to live with this person. So first, it starts out as twin beds in the same room, very close to each other with a little nightstand. Then it's not so much twin beds, you get the bigger beds in the same room. Then if you have a little money, it's two bedrooms. That's how it works. But that's the fact of the matter. There's no shame in it. You can still get together when you want. But you have two different lives, two different minds. Why do you have to share every second in the bedroom? Well, that's some sacred place to be there? The way people are today individually, they don't want to be in the same room. And by the way, this is not limited to America. I spent many years, I'll give you an example, an anthropological experience about men and women. In Fiji, let's go back to the years I was going to Fiji in the village. And this is a delicate subject. The men had a men's house and the women had a women's house. And when the women went through their monthly cycle, the women went into the women's house with the other women. The men didn't want to be around them. Now, what does that make the men in Fiji? Does it make them sexist? Does it make them whatever ist you want to call it? They know from their culture that they didn't want to be around the woman at that time for whatever the reasons were. And I got news for you. The woman would rather be with her friends at that time than the guy. So he went over to the friend's house. They all hung out and slept in the same big straw hut. And the women slept together. That's how they did it in Fiji. I'm giving you one example. So this whole idea of how to raise a child or how to live with a woman or a woman how to live with a man, there's no set rule. There's no set rules in this area. And a lot of what we see going on today is a devolution, not an evolution. The people don't even actually understand how to live with each other or how to raise children. And what they always do is try the liberal methodology in every case on the natch, and they think that by going on the natch with liberalism, it's going to work, and it often doesn't. What you have to do is go back to the traditional methods of raising children and the traditional methods of living in the same household, man and woman, woman and man.
Savage.
Next headline. Now, first, I got to read you the headline from the San Francisco Follicle. This I couldn't believe. I didn't even have my first cup of coffee today. I didn't even want it. Slain sex worker identified as transgender immigrant. I had to deconstruct that 8 times to finally figure out what that meant. They found a nude transsexual hooker underneath a freeway. No one's celebrating it, but you don't write a headline like they did. Slain sex worker identified as transgender immigrant? So I had to write the correct headline for people who can still think. Here it is. Degenerate, junkie, hooker, transsexual, illegal alien found dead. Now that's the correct headline for somebody who can still use their mind. Not slain sex worker identified as transgender immigrant. A, she's not an immigrant, she's an illegal alien. B, she's not a transgender, she's a transsexual. C, she's not a sex worker, she's a hooker. She's also a junkie. So what should I say? She's a role model now for your children? No. She's the refuse of society. She's a garbage. Human trash. She's human trash. We're not all equal. Maybe we're all created equal when we come out of mama's womb. But everyone knows we're not all equal after a certain period of time of being given a shot at life. Some wind up degenerate, junkie, hooker, transsexual, illegal aliens. Others wind up social workers taking care of the downtrodden, etc. We're not all equal. This is part of the socialist, illiberal psychosis that has seeped into our societal consciousness, trying to tell us that she's equal to the Eagle Scout. She's equal to your grandmother. She's human garbage. That's what she is. Degenerate, junkie, hooker, transsexual, illegal alien found dead. I stand by that headline. Monkeys rampage in Indian capital. Just after weeks after the Indian's capital's deputy mayor toppled to his death fighting off a pack of monkeys, the animals are back on the attack, sparking fresh concerns about the simian menace. One woman was seriously hurt and 24 other people were given first aid after monkeys rampaged through a neighborhood in East Delhi over the weekend. So the monkeys are out of control. Rogue monkeys running into residences. I guess if I go on with the story, I'll be accused of simiophobia, and I'm liable to face a boycott from some monkeys around the globe, and I can't afford that, because if the monkeys were to boycott my products, there'd be no conservatives left to buy them, I suppose. That reminds me, the monkeys going crazy. You know, many people, everything they turn into cute. Everything's cute. A bear is cute. A monkey's cute. You know, this is such liberal stupidity. Monkeys are dangerous with big teeth. So it reminds me of Louie and the Monkey story, which I told once at most in my tenure on radio. We go back now, ladies and gentlemen, put on your resting cap. We're going to go back in time. We're going back to the Lower East Side of New York. Dad owns a small antiques mart. Little old Michael's cleaning bronzes in the back, and there's Louie the bum from the Bowery, who in those days, he was a drunk. He wasn't a bum. He worked. Dad would have him in on the weekends, and he'd clean the bronzes and whatever he did down there. I loved Louie. Louis was a great guy, but now you got to understand, this guy was a stoned alcoholic of the old school, skinny like a rail, white guy, skinny like a rail, smoked like unfiltered cigarettes, but one of the nicest guys on earth. He wears the rubber apron, he's cleaning downstairs, does the bronzes, then of course I took over because Dad wanted cheap child labor, and where else are you going to get it from his son, you know, so I'm doing the thing. So I got to know Louis over the years, and he taught me various things like, Once we had Louie over to the house, I'll never forget it. I was so proud that my father took this guy who I liked, all the way out to Queens and invited him to dinner. I don't know what came over. Maybe it was Thanksgiving or whatever. And Louis had dinner with us at the table, and the guy was surprisingly erudite, and he knew things. And, like, after dinner, we did games, and Louis the drunk showed me how to bend nails. He showed me mind over matter. He took a nail, and he showed me that if you put your fingers, blah, 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 and put your mind on it and keep up the pressure, the nail would bend. I was shocked because I was a skinny kid with little hands, and I bent the nail. And he taught me mind over matter, but it was all molecular because you put the heat and the pressure, blah, 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 eventually that nail is going to bend. But I learned in life it's the same thing. It's all willpower, okay? Now there's another element to the story. So Louis is this kind of guy, interesting, but an alcoholic, and this and that. Years go by. He lives alone in Williamsburg. In those days, Williamsburg was like a slum, zero, you know, oilcloth city, leftover apartments from the last century. No one wanted to be there but the poor. So he lives there alone. He's very lonely. He gets a monkey. He wants a monkey. Now, out of the world, nobody in those days had a monkey. Dogs, yes. Cats, yes. No. Who had a monkey in those days? Louis gets a monkey. But Louis don't just get a spider monkey, one of the skinny little monkeys. Louis gets a woolly monkey. Now, woolly monkeys are already strong. They got a chest on them. They got strong hands. And Louis's in love with this monkey. For a couple of months, they're inseparable. Wherever he goes, there's the monkey. And the monkey's on his shoulder and where he's cleaning and he's happy. Now, Louis was the kind of guy that if he went to a bar in the Lower East Side, I remember the name to this day, named Hamill and Corn. Whatever money he made for my father, he'd take 2 minutes later, he'd be in the bar, and he'd throw money in a jukebox, and he would whistle and sing, and he'd buy everyone drinks till he was broke. He'd stumble out in the street, he would get hit by a car, sleep on a bar, he didn't care, live for the booze, and that was it, but he had a heart of gold. So Louis gets the monkey, finally has someone to fill his empty nights, and as I say, they were inseparable. Well, as time went on, we get a call, Louis's in the hospital, he's dying. What? The monkey went crazy in his apartment, attacked him, and almost ripped him to pieces. And he suffered for 6 months in the hospital. I don't know which hospital, probably Bellevue, because that's where they all wound up. And the monkey went at him in love. You don't know what a monkey's like when it goes crazy. You try to stop an enraged monkey without a weapon. He ripped his neck. He ripped his face. He ripped his arms. He ripped his leg. He ripped his crotch. He ripped his behind. Louis was ripped up pretty bad. And eventually, he took the monkey. I think he grabbed it and threw it out of the window. It just shows you, if he hadn't have done it, he'd be dead today, okay? But a liberal today probably would have tried to talk to the monkey. Louis knew that the instincts had to kick in. It was him or the monkey, and he decided it was better him than the monkey. He didn't consult a liberal book on how to deal with a crazed monkey. He just fought with it and killed it. I think that's what the bottom line is here. But the point is that even a lonely drunk needs companionship at night. In his case, he found the monkey. It was probably the right thing for him to do. But it goes back to the story I opened with, which is that the monkeys are rampaging in India. And the rogue monkeys are breaking into houses, including the daughters of the ruling Congress party. They broke into the Indian parliament. Trouble boiled over in late October when the city's deputy mayor fell to his death driving away monkeys from his home. He was on his balcony reading a paper when four monkeys appear, his family says. He waves a stick to scare them away, tumbles over the edge, and boom, he drops dead, falls off the balcony, and dies. So right now you could see that Louis was a pioneer in a way, in a sense that he understood that monkeys were dangerous long before they did in India when they turned into a sacred animal. And that's the Louis and the monkey story on the Savage Nation. You got to admit it wasn't bad. It's nicely entertaining. It's almost 6 o'clock here on the West Coast, almost 9 o'clock on the East Coast. And that's it. That's the story. The bottom line is don't get a monkey as a pet. They're wild animals.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
1-800-449-8255. WOR, New York City. Frank, you're on the Savage Nation.
How are you, Michael? I enjoy your show, and I am a patriot of my country, and I love my country. However, I regrettably do not share your optimism on how we will conquer and we will survive in this country, because what you were talking about in your opening show, paralleling the Spartans with the
With the Athenians, right? The Spartans versus the Greeks.
Even the Spartans versus the Persians. And unfortunately, I don't think we will survive this because the Spartans, in 7 years old, were trained to be, tough. I mean, tough as nails. And they were brought up and shown and trained pain, to ignore pain and to be as tough as they can be. Whereas
I hear you, but here's the thing to take courage in, Frank. I said at the beginning that the rotten, stinking media, the academic establishment, and so many other elements of America seem to exemplify the weaknesses, tell people to get in touch with their weak side, and to blow it out of proportion. The media keeps showing us the junkies and the perverts, etc., and they never show us the boys who are really tough. There are plenty of them out there, Frank. When I see footage coming out of Iraq, these boys are the greatest generation. They look just like the boys who fought and died in World War II. We still have American boys who are capable and more than willing to fight. They are tough as nails. They're not found, perhaps, in your neighborhood or in my neighborhoods, Frank, because these boys, unfortunately, have been wimpified by their mothers in the school system who have told them to get in touch with their inner woman and to let it all hang out. And if they feel weak, to tell us why they feel weak and break down and cry. But those other boys are always going to be there. They always have been there, Frank. They're all over America. They're just not in the big cities to any extent.
Yeah, you have a point there, but I don't know. I just see as...
Frank, look, don't give up. Let me explain something. When I went aboard the U.S. aircraft carrier, USS Stennis, last year with my son, and I got to meet these kids, and I saw the 24-year-olds and the 25-year-olds flying F-A-18s, tell me how they differ from the men who flew in World War II, or the men who flew in Vietnam. They're no different, Frank. We continuously produce heroes. The difference is they used to be glorified by the media. There were movies written about the high noon types. Now we're writing movies about the drag queens and about the junkies and about the turncoats and the AWOL people. But they're not the norm. They're the exception, these freaks and these cowards. The norm are the kids flying the jets, my friend. You just don't see them because the idiots who run the media have expunged them from the national consciousness. But, Frank, they're there. How do you think our ships are running at sea?
Well, Michael, listen, I hope that you are right. I pray that you are right. And I hope
wait, let me add something to it, Frank. What makes you think the Iranians are so tough?
No, I don't think the Iranians are...
What makes you think that every Afghani or every Iraqi wants to go throw himself under a truck with a bomb on his chest? That's another myth that the media is putting out in order to scare everyone to death. They're putting out, in essence, propaganda movies against us. But, Frank, believe me, they have their own wimpification going on in Iran. Many of them would rather not fight as well. So don't assume that every one of the opposition are tough and we're all weak. We have our own Spartans. Just look at the U.S. Marine Corps. The problem is we have a military that's turned on its own men by prosecuting those boys who act like the Spartans and turning them into the wimps. So the problem is very, very complicated, Frank, but it doesn't begin and end with the fear that that we're too wimpified. I don't believe it at all.
Well, I hope you're right, and I hope that I'm wrong. I really do.
Frank, it's not that I'm right and you're wrong, or you're right and I'm wrong. Frank, what we're drawing our conclusions from is the media. The media controls what we think. The only people they show you in the military are guys who've had their legs blown off or their eyes shot out, or some fat cow that they showed the New York Times this weekend saying she was raped in the military. Everywhere you turn, there's an image of weakness and despair being promoted by the weak and the despairing who own and run the media. It's their psychosis being projected onto the public consciousness. But believe me, there's another America. There's a Spartan, tough America, Frank. It's just been put out of the public consciousness. That's because the garbage run the imagery.
Yeah. Well, you make a great and strong point, Mike.
Good. Go home and feel the reality of America. It's not seen in the pages of the Daily News, the New York Post, and the New York Times, Frank. You live in New York, but believe me, there's a whole world outside of what Murdoch puts out and what Sulzberger puts out. There's an entire other universe, Frank. Thanks for the call. It's right in New York. Look at the NYPD. Most of them are heroic. They've just been beaten to death in recent times by, again, the lawyers and the liberal media. We understand that.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
You know, people are trying to silence Michael Savage. That's me. I need your help. It's a big battle, a legal battle. The opposition has unlimited funds. I don't. Will you please go to michaelsavage.com, contribute $5, $10, $1,000, $10,000. You'll notice that you can contribute to the Legal Defense Fund under a new address. The mail goes to the Michael Savage, that's if a check, a money order, cash, Michael Savage Legal Fund, 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco 94111. Thank you for helping protect freedom of speech. Michael Savage Legal Fund, 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco 94111. And God bless you for helping protect freedom of speech.
Savage.
So we spent an hour talking about Barack Hussein Obama and... I asked you a question. Why is it an irrelevant question? What is Hussein? Where did he get the name from? Why is it not right to ask the question? And I posed the question, what if John McCain's middle name was Jesus? What if it was John Jesus McCain? Do you suppose the liberals would be saying, what does that mean? Do you want to convert us all? Are you a fanatic Christian, Mr. McCain? Well, then it would become a question. If it was John Jesus McCain, they'd be asking the question. But is Barack Hussein Obama? How dare you ask that question? Well, so we're not going to talk about that anymore. We had a good time with that. We're now going to move on to beer, wine, guns, boats, beer, boats, wine, guns, cameras, stuff I never talk about because I'm so tired of the other stuff. I'm so tired of it that I'm going to do what is, you can't do this during an election season. You're supposed to only talk about, well, she's up, he's down. No, she's down, he's up. No, he's up, she's down, he's sideways. Okay, let the others do it. If that's all they want to do, let them enjoy it. I don't care what their ratings are. I can't do it. So let's go to the callers, okay? Chicago, Thomas, go ahead. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to talk about my boat. The first boat I had was a 1972 Chris-Craft with double Rolls-Royce engines, actually.
And wow. Rolls-Royce engines? That wasn't factory, was it?
No, it wasn't. It was actually a boat that I inherited from a wealthy side of my family. I really didn't even know what to do with the boat.
That is amazing. But do Rolls-Royce engines do well in a marine environment?
Yeah, honestly, Mike.
No, I would imagine so. They use them in the air. What am I asking? Of course they must do well anywhere.
Rolls-Royce engines is the most amazing boat. But at the time, it was a little bit over my head. It's a 38-foot boat. The maintenance, all of that stuff was just crazy. But when you said you wanted to talk about guns, I mean, there's the new SIG 9mm, single action, double action.
Okay. Oh, you've touched the raw nerve. I went and bought a SIG P-232 with a 380 cartridge. I can't use the gun. I don't like it. I don't like double action guns at all.
Yes.
Don't like them. I'm going to return the gun. No, I'm going to try and trade it back. I've never fired it. I just don't like the gun. I have, and I've had it for 25 years. My favorite handgun is really basic. It's the Colt Combat Commander 45. That is a weapon that is, I don't think there's anything you can beat it. WOR, Bob, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I have a Glock 19. I'm a NYU graduate. I went in there as a moderate, came out to the right of you. But
how did that? Wait, you must have majored in engineering, certainly not in sociology.
Well, I took a class in sociology, and it was filled with communists professors, and they're really brainwashing brain, you know, young, innocent minds. They focus.
Well, that's why there are so many suicides at NYU. I'm sorry to say, why are they throwing themselves off buildings there? How can the kids take it?
I don't know if it's that or the tuition, Mike, but I want to talk about the reason why. I hear you like a Colt 45, and those are excellent firearms. But when it comes to home defense, you need a good flashlight, and I like a Glock 19.
Well, let's talk about it. Many people listening to this show are experts in guns, and many of them are not, and some are thinking about getting a handgun. There's something to be said for a semi-automatic handgun and something to be said for a revolver. Why is a revolver something people consider having by their nightstand as opposed to a semi-automatic? You could answer that very simply. Why?
Because
a revolver is a point and shoot gun. You don't have to pull back on the gun. You just pick it up and fire it. A semi-automatic, you're going to have to pull back unless you leave it charged, which I would never do with a round in the chamber. I would never leave a semi-automatic with a round in the chamber spring-loaded like that. I just wouldn't do it. But on the other hand, you know, a revolver is much more reliable in that regard. They're not going to jam on you generally. 5 shots, 6 shots max, as opposed to 14 shots, so that's a disadvantage. They say that the shotgun is still your best friend in a bedroom. A nice old shotgun, pump shotgun, best friend in the dark. 1-800-449-8255 phone number. Any topic is fair game. Guns, cars, cameras. You want to talk about cameras? Cameras have changed to such an extent that I don't know there's much to talk about. Everything's automatic today. I'm using a Nikon D70 that I bought about 4 or 5 years. 4 years, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, whenever it came out. It's far more complicated than my little Sony. But the new gigabytes on the little tiny Sony are astounding. And on my website, michaelsavage.com, the pictures you're seeing so far are with the Nikon D70. But I have a whole panel of pictures coming up with my little Sony. I think it's a 9 gigabyte, small, the size of a credit card. I never saw a camera like this. But I still like the heft and feel of a big camera. Although if you want to take a picture of a bum in San Francisco, I would suggest you get a smaller camera. Because you can get away with more. You don't have to like aim it, you know. You can sort of like hold it. That's the better one to use if you're taking anonymous pictures. The credit card size camera is better. So what would you like to talk about? We can go back to politics, Hussein Obama, if you'd like. I mean, that's fine. Again, I raise the question, why is it inappropriate to raise the issue of his middle name? If John McCain's middle name had been or were Jesus, John Jesus McCain, would his middle name be an issue? I think so. I think that the liberals would have a diarrhea fit. They would go insane.
Oh, your name is John Jesus McCain? Oh, does that mean you want to convert us? What? That's frightening.
It would become an issue, I'm sure of it, the way Mr. Romney's Mormonism became an issue to the radicals at the New York Times. So that's why it was, you know, was such a question. Let's see, what else do we have? Obama, could you get pictures of Obama off my website except for that one article? You know, he looks like Alfred E. Newman to me with the big ears. He's not a very good-looking guy. I mean, I told you 1,000 times it's not about the fact that he's multiracial to me. I would vote for a black man in a second if he were a conservative. I would. You have to just take me on my word. I'd vote for a black woman if she could save America. I don't care what their race is. I don't happen to like the man's communist policies, that's all. I don't happen to like the bag men that have associated with him in Chicago. I don't like the fact that he has a nasty wife who seems to have a distemper for America and thinks it's only good now that her husband's getting attention. There's a lot of things that I don't really like about the guy, if you don't mind. Now, I recognize that many of you think he walks on water and that he can cure arthritis if you just go to one of his rallies. I'm not one of those, you know. So let's talk about boats for another minute or two. Tim, Sacramento, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. I was wondering, have you ever touched on power cats? Because I know that they're really hot in Australia, and you can get, you know, you got a shallow draft, 4-foot draft on a 65-footer, and you can use a couple 700-horsepower Cummins. And you
wait, what is that? Oh, a catamaran?
Power cats, yeah. They're really popular in Australia.
You know, it's funny you should ask. When I lived years ago in the tropics, catamarans were very popular amongst the sailing folks. There was something about it that was not traditional that I couldn't relate to, the double hull. I know they sailed flat and people loved them. I just never related to them. To me, a boat has to have a single hull to be a boat. I can't relate to it. There's certain things that don't compute in my head. One of them is a double-hulled sailing, a double-hulled vessel.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering, what size is your Grand Banks?
It's a Europa 42.
Those are beautiful. Yeah, my dream is to have a custom-built yacht by Delta Marine or Delta out there.
Oh, yeah, they're magnificent, gigantic, though. Well, you're talking about a 150-foot boat, though.
Well, yeah, well, they'll do a custom order. You can get a nice 65-footer with an ice-strengthened steel hull. That way you can go up into Alaska, have a four-stateroom layout.
Wow.
Take friends. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, I don't know if I could take that much time on a boat anymore. I mean, I'm a day boater. Truthfully, Tim, I'm not an overnighter. I'd rather come back to my house, and that's about it. I'm a day boater right now. There may be a time later on which I'll do overnights on a boat, but not right now. Thank you for the call. I have one quick call to take, then I'll go to a break. It's splinter advice from Jeff in Houston, Texas. Jeff, go ahead, please. Give me splinter advice.
Yes, I was going to tell you, I worked in a wood shop, and what you need to do is take your one-sided razor blade that has a handle on one side, like the box cutter.
And cut my throat.
No, you slowly, where the splinter is, you shave the skin real slow. It might take you about 20 minutes, but just lightly use the sharp edge of the blade and keep rubbing over it, rubbing over it, rubbing over it, and you'll be taking little bitty pieces of skin off. You won't even notice it, but you'll see the little, it's like sawdust. And eventually, when you keep going over it and over it, your blade will hit the splinter, and you can just keep doing that and go under it and kind of pull up, and then you can pull it out with your finger. I used to work at a wood shop, and I did it all the time.
Well, I see a little black piece of the splinter poking its head out. As you were talking to me, I was playing with my thumbnail, and it came out. So thanks for reminding me to remove it. Thank you. I'll be right back.
Yeah. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. To an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
I want to go to some good callers right now. I want to power out of this hour. Chicago, Illinois, Alonzo on WIND. Welcome. What's on your mind, sir?
Dr. Savage, I want to close my eyes. I want to click my heels 3 times. And I want my country back. How can these Republicans go to a Spanish-speaking debate? What is going on in this world? Why can't I...
Well, you know something? I'm actually as pissed off as you are for one reason. It's not the Spanish part of it. It's the fact that they will pander to virtually any special interest group with the exception of one, and that is the core conservative base, which is my audience. They will not appear on this program. I have allegedly 8 to 10 million listeners. You know and I know it's probably larger than that. You people can determine the outcome of the election. Not Giuliani, not McCain, not Romney, not Huckabee. None of them will come here and meet the Savage Nation. Yet they have no problem with going to Little Havana in Miami. They have no problem with going to a Denny's in Wichita. They have no problem with going to a bunch of kids at YouTube. Why won't they come before you is what you're really outraged about, isn't it?
Dr. Savage, I am a man, American of color. I don't subscribe to that African-American crap. I'm an American. Just like a soldier dies in the war, he comes back not a white soldier, not a black soldier, an American. And there are plenty of Americans of color that listen to you, that believe in what you say. We don't agree with everything that Dr. Savage said, but we agree with your core principles. If you govern yourself accordingly, if you abide by the law, you write yourself a blank check in this country. God bless you, Dr. Savage.
God, that's beautiful. I feel like applauding you, Alonzo. You want a fill-in job?
No, I'm just
Great. Alonzo, thank you. Your call was very good. It was very articulate. I'd like to capture that one. Guys, capture that one for the archives. I'm going to prove something to you right now. This is a daring act I'm about to perform, which is I'm going to read the label on a box of bullets, 380 auto, 90 grain bullets, and I'm going to show you that I can even make that interesting, even the people who don't have guns. I'm going to read you something, right? Lead warning. Discharging firearms in poorly ventilated areas, cleaning firearms, or handling ammunition may result in exposure to lead and other substances known to cause birth defects and reproductive harm. Well, a bullet can also cure a birth defect, to be honest with you, when you think about it. Why it's in English and French, I don't understand. Why would they make a bullet box in French and English? That's the part I can't understand. The French haven't used guns in 100 years. How many Frenchmen would buy centerfire cartridges? I don't. There's a warning here for children on the box. French, they're not allowed to have guns in France, are they? So why would they even make this in France? I don't understand this. It's like a cheap centerfire cartridge, maybe. It could be in Louisiana or something if they speak French, don't they, down in there on the bayou? I mean, no slur intended. 380 is a terrible round, by the way, for home defense. I don't think it'll work. Everyone says, oh, it's not going to work. God, I wouldn't want to be hit by one. Guys always say, oh, don't get a 380, get a 40. Man, I don't want that thing going through me. What's more, the 380 is like a 32 is not good enough. Oh, okay, fine. I'll just shoot it through my splinter. It's not big enough. I'm into the 45. I mean, you want your stopping power. I mean, in the case of a home defense weapon, let me tell you something, size matters when it comes to the cartridge. You know, I mean, let's not fool around here. You got a guy coming in on PCP, you want something that'll knock him down, and it's got to be a 45. I don't care how big he is, I don't care what drug he's on. That's what it's designed for by the U.S. government. When they were in the Spanish campaign, the Philippines campaign, the Spanish-American War, wasn't it? And they were having, you know, this is an interesting thing historically, because I've studied this occasionally and only on a mild note, on a minor note, but apparently, weren't they fighting Muslim separatists in the Philippines during the Spanish-American War as well, if I remember correctly? And weren't these fanatics using some kind of drugs in the jungles there, and they'd come screaming at the U.S. Marines, and no matter what they shot them with, the 38s, they'd keep coming with their machetes or bolo knives? So they went back and they said to the ballistics laboratory, develop a slug that'll stop them no matter what they're on. They came up with the 45. That was the development of the origin and development of the 45. You understand that? A straighter gun there is. I mean, that gun shoots straight. Yeah, really, we can talk about guns, beer, wine, guns, cameras, ammunition. I'd rather avoid politics for a few moments. And remember, not truffles. The only topic I don't want to talk about is truffles. Conservatives do not eat truffles. Real men do not eat truffles. That's all I can say. Houston, Texas, Russell, quickly, fire away. You own a Duffy boat. Tell me about it. Do you like it?
I think so. The great thing about it is when you're just putting around the harbor or in and out of a network of canals, there's no fumes. You know,
that's what I want. No fumes. I hate fumes.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. Savage. Listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
You have to understand something. I am the son of an immigrant. I respect immigration. I respect immigrants who come here legally. I have to make it very clear so that you don't let people who want to lie about me and lie about the country distort what I just said. There's a huge difference between an orderly, sequential immigration program and an out-of-control immigration situation such as we have. The first thing a nation must do is decide from which nations do you want to draw people. You hear what I just said to you? Which nations have people that we want? What can they do in this for this country that the indigenous population cannot do or will not do? That's number one. Then you have to decide how many of those folks you want in the country and how few you want in the country. And you have to set boundaries. You can't just let an entire population migrate across a border without disrupting the nation. Right now, we're living through that. This nation is disrupted by the illegal alien. One third, that is one out of three, of our prisoners are illegal aliens. Now, I ask you, tell me which candidate, was it McCain, was it Hillary, was it Obama, who told you the simple naked truth that I just said to you when asked about this? Have any of them told you that one out of three prisoners is an illegal alien who committed a felony? That's why they are in prison. They didn't come here to work. They came here to murder. They came here to rape. They came here to rob. They came here to counterfeit. They came here to smuggle drugs. One out of three prisoners is an illegal alien, 30% of the prison population. Why? I'll let you figure out why and who's pulling the levers and why they're in here. So we have a major catastrophe that has already occurred. It's only at the state level and the local level that the police are starting to change the quotient. It's the police. It's falling to the local municipal police, the sheriff's departments. The states are trying to do something about it. While Bush, Nero doesn't fiddle. Nero is not fiddling while Rome burns. Nero is actually trying to burn Rome, as far as I'm concerned. Why do I say that? Many of you love George Bush. Well, love him all you want. You have two Border Patrol agents who were given 11-year sentences for doing their job. While the corrupt U.S. attorney who threw him in jail is now being investigated, Bush fiddles while Campos rots in jail. Why did Bush take the side of a Mexican drug dealer over two Hispanic border guards? It's not about race, is it? It's about something else. Ask yourself why. Why did Bush take the part of a convicted Mexican drug dealer? Why did Bush intervene a month ago? It was actually quite a while ago, on behalf of a rapist and murderer from Mexico, an illegal alien, who took a little girl who was not yet 15 years old, tortured her, raped her, killed her. This man has been on death row longer than the girl walked the earth. It went all the way to the Texas Supreme Court, and they said, no, he deserves the death penalty. He deserves to die. Why did George Bush intervene on behalf of the murderer rapist, the illegal alien from Mexico, and say he deserves a trial in the world court? This is almost breathtakingly astonishing. That Bush would say, this man deserves a trial in the world court, not our own courts? And it had to go to the U.S. Supreme Court, which overruled George Bush. Our Supreme Court said that's ridiculous. That's wrong. That's unconstitutional. They slapped Bush down. Why did they do that? And who is George Bush, and why is he fronting for Mexico? These are the questions that millions of Americans are asking quietly to each other. They're whispering, they're crying out, and they're not getting an answer from anybody. But that doesn't mean they're going to stop asking the question. And I'm telling you that the reason McCain isn't going to win is because he won't answer these questions, and he won't state the plain, simple truth about the illegal alien invasion. Did you hear what I just said to you? That's what I'm saying. Corpus Christi, Texas, line 10BO, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon. Well, my great-grandparents and your great-grandparents were immigrants. So does that make us illegal immigrants at some point in time?
Well, sir, wait. Why are you mixing together immigrants and illegal immigrants? What's wrong with you?
I mean, what's wrong with me? There's nothing wrong with me.
You're apparently missing some of your faculties. You're telling me your grandparents came here illegally?
Great-grandparents were from Mexico.
My grandparents did not come here illegally. They waited a long time to get the right to come into the country. Why are you mixing the two together? There are Mexicans who come here legally, who have come here legally. Don't you understand a nation cannot survive an illegal immigration invasion? Are you aware that Mexico has very strict immigration policies? Are you aware of that?
Yeah, there's bad people that come from Mexico, and then there's bad people.
Wait. You're not hearing me. For God's sakes, don't you know English? I said Mexico has strict immigration policies. Do you know what they do when Guatemalans try to get into Mexico? Tell me how they treat the Guatemalans.
I'm not from Guatemala, so I wouldn't know.
Well, don't play games with me. I don't know how far you went in school, but you're sure not sounding like you went too far. You can't hold an argument.
Diploma.
If we had the same immigration policies that Mexico had, I'd be a happy man. They don't let people in from El Salvador or Mexico, or from El Salvador, for example, or Guatemala into Mexico. They know they can't afford to have them come in as many as they want. Don't you understand that?
What are you talking about?
All right, there we go. End of story. Dummy. You know, a man wants to find hell as a place where there is no reason. You and I were just dragged into hell by that caller, an unreasoning man who has no capacity to reason. We do not need this kind of mentality, if you want to call it that, in this country. Okay? Ocala, Florida. Adam, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage. Any other country that you try to get into, you have to be able to support yourself, take care of yourself, and sustain yourself while you're here working and making a life for yourself.
Of course that's true. Go tell that to John McCain, Mr. Amnesty.
These people that are running for office right now, they're just puppets. They're not doing what the American people want. They're doing what the puppet master is telling them to do. And that's
correct. And the puppet masters are the agribusiness corporations, the hotel conglomerates that want cheap labor. They don't care what social wreckage results. All they want is cheap labor. So their bottom line, their stock valuation is not affected. They don't care about the country. The country is supposed to control these things. Let me give you another, without getting excited, another story that I know that the two callers ago can't understand because he doesn't have the brains to understand what I'm about to say. He's a man that is a dangerous man in the sense that he doesn't have reason any more than well, let's leave it at that. You can't reason with a person who has no reasoning faculties. You say A, he says C. You say B, he says D. You say Mexico has very strict immigration policies, he'll tell you about his grandmother's behind. You talk about Mexico, how they treat Guatemalans, he'll tell you about tamales. That's called idiocy. I don't have time for it. So let me tell you a little story. Canada, socialist nation, very liberal. What is Canada's immigration policy? I have to spell it out for you. Very clear. For a long while, Chinese were coming into Canada in such numbers that the nation's demographics were threatened to be changed. And women from China were coming on the airplane in their eight and a half months of pregnancy so that they could deliver on the plane, Air Canada, or drop one at the airport or soon after arriving so that the baby would become an instant Canadian citizen and thereby qualify to bring in the mother, the father, the grandmother, the great-grandfather, people who never used toilet paper and toothbrushes, into Canada. And they realized if they did not stop the birthright clause in their constitution, Canada would become something like an appendage of China. And let me tell you who pioneered the legislation that eliminated this birthright citizenship deal. It was a man of Chinese-Canadian ancestry. That is correct. Was he a racist? Well, he was Chinese. I guess that's why you haven't heard about it. If I told you it was a white man, oh, Anglo-racist. Well, it was a man of Chinese ancestry who was Canadian. He was born there. He said, we can't afford this anymore. We cannot have birthright citizenship because the country will become China. Same with Mexico. We must eliminate the birthright citizenship. You can't have a woman coming here and giving birth, making an instant citizen. That's what's going on. Now tell me, which politician of the three has said that he loves immigrants, he loves the Mexican people, and I really do, but we're going to end the birthright citizenship clause in our Constitution because it's being used unfairly to change the country in ways that are not beneficial for the nation. You tell me which candidate will even touch that subject for fear he'll lose some votes, God knows where.
Savage.
WOR, New York. Carol, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, this country is really starting to really make me nauseous, sick to my stomach. I'm a mother. I'm not an intellect. I'm not someone that, you know, I try to follow politics as much as I can with my knowledge base and, you know, how smart I am.
You don't have to be an intellect to understand what's going on. You don't have to be a great genius to see what's going on. All you need is common sense and a love of country to know what's going on.
It's horrible that the troops are being lost. Of course. Of course. I'm a mother. But you know what? This is war, people. Why have a military if you never want to use them?
Thank you. That's exactly what any woman would say in this country. Why have a military if you're not going to use it, number one? Did you read the story about the top general in Afghanistan throwing out 120 Special Forces Marines because they did their jobs too much like Marines? Have you heard that story today?
But I listened to you, and I just heard it tonight, and I screamed.
Can you believe that the Marines behaved like Marines after one of their men were killed and a truck blown up? They actually went back and fought, and the reaction is from the pretty boy top general in Afghanistan to throw the Marines out of Afghanistan and put the whole unit under a question mark?
It's a disgrace, and there's no other word.
This is an example of a coup that's occurred in the military. I mean every word I just said. There's been a military coup where the patriotic leadership in the military seems to have been thrown out under George Bush, and these yes men have been put in. It's frightening. I don't know how we're ever going to fight a real war again.
People are forgetting, Michael. People wear T-shirts that say 9/11. We'll never forget. People are forgetting. This was real, people. I lived through it. I don't live in Manhattan, but I didn't need to. I was in fear of my life, my children's lives that day. My children were locked down in their school. My husband worked in the city. I saw those buildings come down. I saw my people being killed by people that came in this country, used our planes against us as missiles, and we had to live in fear, and we were all Americans on that day, and we were all, it didn't matter if you were black, white, Jewish, what you are, you were an American that day, and we all looked at each other and said, we're not going to have this. But now 5 years, 4 years later, we're turning around. Some of us are protesting that we're over there. How dare you protest anything? Well, in this country.
I know, Carol, you should be running the country. I would like to run Carol for president. You have more guts than the president does.
They want us to go.
You haven't lost the vision, Carol. They've lost the vision. They've been compromised. Carol for president.
I couldn't wait to get on your show. I've been trying for weeks.
I'm not trying to trivialize what you just said, Carol. I heard it come from your heart. You sound like one of my deceased relatives. I feel like from the grave she's talking to me. You have the passion that a relative of mine had when she was living many years ago. You have the real guts that could save this country. The women of this country are the only ones who could save the country. The men are finished. The men at the top are sold out, Carol. They don't seem to understand that what they're doing affects their children and grandchildren. They seem to be living in another world, Carol.
Don't understand it. I don't understand.
Carol, greed, all you got to do is answer the question with two words. When it's a liberal doing it, it's liberalism is a mental disorder. When it's a Republican doing it, it's a one-word answer called greed.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. Savage. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Florida, Jeff, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, sir?
Well, Michael, God bless you for your work. And I'm a retired holistic physician out here in Northeast Florida. Had a radio show downstream of you for a couple of years. But I had to go low profile because I want to tell you, I'm voting for you to go to the Asian buffet or the Asian restaurant in Las Vegas. And I'm going to tell you why. You talk about the homosexualization of America, and you talk about, I'm a neurologist and a psychiatrist, retired. Why are these people looking at porn? Why are they passing porn? Why are men becoming effeminate in this country?
Because they're not eating enough Italian food.
Well, unfortunately...
they're not eating heavy food. No, I'm joking. Go on with your idea.
They need heavy foods, but they need it to be without all the steroids, without all the pesticides, without all the toxic chemicals.
I hear what you're saying. You're saying that foods that are full of hormones are feminizing men. Isn't that what you're arguing?
Right. Research done at the University of Florida already showed that our poor alligators were being born without you-know-whats because there's so much estrogen-like pesticides in our food supply.
Oh, my. Even alligators were being born like liberals?
Exactly. And you and I have so much in common. I've been reading through most of your books. I started out working in the pharmacy, the whole nine yards.
Oh, my God. So you're are you a retired psychiatrist, Jeff?
Retired neurology and psychiatry, but what I really spent my time...
Wait. This is interesting. Where'd you go to medical school?
Pennsylvania State University College of Medicine, Hershey,
Pennsylvania. That was a great, great school. You were a smart kid, right? I mean, you knew what you were doing from the beginning.
I was much smarter than that. I went to Benjamin Franklin School undergraduate, University of Pennsylvania. And you know what I learned, Michael? I learned I needed to listen with respect to everyone and never become an egomaniac and keep an open mind. And while you were traveling around the world collecting plants, I was learning everything I could about Chinese medicine and chiropractic and organic farming and hanging out with those people. And I'm telling you that after World War II, when these German chemical companies took over in combination with all these oil companies, took over our economy, and I want you to know I'm a conservative Republican now. Mm-hmm. But when they took over and started feeding our population all these steroids in the meat and all these xenoestrogens and pesticides, the only reason I'm calling tonight, Michael, is that you're one of the last voices on the radio left from an era when people weren't being poisoned by all these foods. The poor.
That's funny. That's really funny. That's an amazing story. What you're saying is that in the age that I grew up, in the formative years that my brain was being laid down, the foods were not laden with the chemicals. Isn't that what you're saying?
Exactly. An Italian man had to have the courage to say wheat is so full of pesticides now, he had to tell his Italian family to stop eating the pasta and switch over to rice. He wrote a book called Eat Right for Your Type. It has to do with your blood type, your immune system.
Well, but you see, there's a here's where you and I digress a little, Jeff. I come from the holistic medical background in the PhD side from University of California at Berkeley, as you know. The problem is that when you get so rarefied in your dietary needs, I think that's another form of extremism, the rarefication. For example, let me give you an example. A lot of people will only give their dogs bottled water. I think it's ludicrous. You know, you at a certain point, you got to drink a little tap water and give your dog a little tap water. You're not going to die from it in every community in America. And moreover, your body has to get used to it. I was talking yesterday, wasn't I, about the strength of the Ukrainian athletes, particularly the boxers. These guys grew up on virtually poisonous food in the Ukraine, and they're strong as iron. So I'm not so sure that rarefied diets necessarily are the only way to go, Jeff.
You're talking to a Ukrainian Jew with a Ukrainian wife fresh over from Ukraine 5 years ago. The Ukrainian soil is full of...
What, and she hasn't killed you yet?
She tried to kill me 2 years ago, but we're both Jewish Christians, so we decided to give it another shot. Now we've got a beautiful baby. Because
wait a minute. So you're 55 and she's 25?
Huh?
She's 25 and you're 55?
I'm 51, she's 30.
Well, I wasn't too far off. I knew it, and you're still breathing?
I'm still breathing. I got three kids.
Well, you must be eating something right, Jeff.
Because I know your family goes back to the Ukraine. That's why you're so smart.
Well, no, they don't. Why, is Minsk in the Ukraine?
It's all the same. It's all volcanic rock, good food, no pesticides.
Hey, let me tell you something. I don't think they're Ukrainians, but, you know, the food that my ancestors ate was pretty poor. They lived on grains. They had very little meat. They were very poor for centuries. Maybe that's what made them smart and strong. You know, one of the food staples of that area for a long period of time was called buckwheat. You know that or not?
Yes.
I love buckwheat. You can't find it. Could you find buckwheat today? You know, you talk about Asian food. One of my favorite Japanese soups is a soup made with buckwheat noodles. For the $24 question, what's the name of that soup? Soba is very hard to find in America properly cooked, but the buckwheat noodle is worth getting.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of the Michael Savage Show.